Codes, How to Make Them and Break Them, a murderous maths book by Jonathan Poskett. If we can crack this Earthling code, the world will be ours. Illustrated by Ian Baker. Read by Vienna Vance. To my lovely boss, Miss Lisa Edwards, with thanks for sparing the time to make a guest star appearance in the last pages of this book. A sneaky start. As you launch yourself into this extraordinary book, notice that arranged within the main text are many commonly concealed kinds of trick messages, only you don't see any just yet. Ha, did you spot it? No. We hate to tell you this, but you have already read a secret message. Yes, indeed, a hidden announcement of national importance was sneaked into that first sentence. It uses one of the easiest sorts of codes, but don't worry if you didn't see it, as we'll explain it soon. Ha, the Earthlings still haven't finished the introduction to the book. We've got here just in time. We can sneak in and steal all their clever code ideas. There are hundreds of different ways you can send a message so that it can only be read by the right person, and nearly all of them rely on maths. Some codes need extremely murderous maths, and we'll have a look at those later on, but the code in the first paragraph used some of the simplest maths there is. If you want to decode the message, all you need to do is count to two, but it still fooled you, didn't it? There are three basic ways of sending secret messages. Scrambled, where the order of the letters is mixed up. Substituted, where each letter is swapped for something else. Disguised. By now, you might have realized that the message in the first sentence is disguised. This means that when you read the sentence, you didn't even realize there was a message there. If we'd started the book by saying XQ3JJFANZ27, then you might have got a bit suspicious. But as it was, you didn't know there was anything strange happening until we told you. There's no mention of us in the text so far. It's time you found out how to decode the first sentence, but do bear in mind that when you see what it says, you needn't worry. It's not as scary as it seems, and all is in hand, we hope. Here's that sentence again, but you'll notice that the words are now split into groups of two. As you launch yourself into this extraordinary book, notice that, arranged within, the main text there are many cunningly concealed kinds of trick messages only you don't see any just yet. Now just look at the first letter of each group. Got the message? Zep. It gets the evil Galarks from the planet Zog, but don't panic. Just dive behind the sofa, grab the TV remote, and prepare to zap anything green and slimy that approaches. The odd thing about Galarks is that although they like to invade, causing mayhem and destruction, all it takes is one little push of the TV remote control and ping, they end up doing whatever program you switch to. Today it's Gorgeous Gardens. Ooh, super battery feature. I just love what you've done with those ferns. That rose is simply divine, darling. Special words to know. Code. A code is when you use words or signals to convey special messages. Codes don't have to be secret. For instance, Mayday is the well-known international code word sent out by ships or planes in trouble. It comes from the French Mater, which means help me. So if you get a message from a boat stuck on the rock saying Mayday, don't immediately start dancing around a striped flagpole waving handkerchiefs. They won't be impressed. Oi, we need help here! But we always do this on Mayday. Cryptic message. This is the general name for any secret code. In other words, any message that needs decoding before you can understand it. In this book, we'll just call cryptic messages codes to be simple, but you know what we mean. Cipher. For substitution messages, the method of swapping the letters for other letters or symbols is called a cipher. Agent. This is the person you are sending your message to. You like this person. Crackers. These are the evil people, such as Professor Fiendish, who might get hold of your message and will work tirelessly for days and nights trying to break your code. You don't like crackers, especially as the posh word for them is cryptanalysis. Hooray, we're crackers! Speak for yourself. Plain text. This is your uncoded message and is usually written in lowercase letters. Code text. This is your coded message and is usually written in capital letters. Algorithm. This is the general method you've used to encode your messages. It doesn't usually matter if the crackers know this. This is the little bit of information you need to start decoding a message. Key. You don't want crackers to know this. The difference between the key and the algorithm. The algorithm for the first sentence of this book, the one that was coded, is that the hidden message is made up from the first letters of some of the words. Even if the crackers know the algorithm, they don't know which words in the sentence are the important ones. The key describes exactly which words were important. For instance, it could be every fourth word, every fifth word, perhaps every word before a comma. Crackers who know the algorithm can experiment and try to find the key, and for our first sentence, it's so simple they might get it quite quickly. An obvious algorithm and a coded key. Here's another sort of algorithm which is useless without a key. If you want to tell your agent where to find buried treasure, you could print these directions in a newspaper for anybody to read. News. Treasure Island map discovered. 20 paces north, 60 paces west, 10 paces southeast, and start digging. This is an algorithm because it gives plenty of instructions as to what to do. that any crackers would have real problems finding the treasure because they don't know the key. In this case, the key would say where your agent has to start walking from. If they guessed wrong and decided to start walking from Skull Rock, then they'd end up digging a hole in the sea. Ha, serves them right. The good bit is that as long as the crackers don't know where to start walking, they won't find the treasure. You could send the key to your agent on a postcard like this. We can catch the afternoon train and arrive close to dinner time, unless the station is shut. The key which describes where to start has been coded in the message just in case the crackers read the newspaper, and they managed to intercept the postcard. Once again, we've used the first letters of some of the words on the postcard, but the key to which words we've used is rather cleverer than the one we used before. Why not try to crack it yourself? To give you a clue, hidden in the message on the postcard is one of the places marked on the map. If you give in, the key is below. Postcard key. Look at all the words ending in E. Read the first letter of every word that comes immediately afterwards. The rules of codes. It doesn't matter what sort of code you're using, there are three important rules to remember. 1. Your agent must know how to decode the message. 2. The crackers must not know how to decode the message. 3. There are no more rules. This last rule might look silly, but it's important. The whole point of codes is to work in secret. Therefore, so as long as you can obey rules 1 and 2, then the crazier and more misleading you can make your code, the better it is. As soon as you start obeying rules such as keywords should only be 7 letters long, or no spelling mistakes, then you're in danger of being predictable and you'll end up breaking rule 2. Although this book might look like it's got lots of rules and instructions, they are only guidelines to show you how it all works. If you can think of your own methods and ignore everything here, then good for you. This book just shows and explains how all the codes we know about got invented, but there might be millions more codes being sent around the world that we don't even know about. These codes are probably much better than anything we've got here, but as we don't know about them, we can't be sure. How to make sure you write your codes right. When you write code out, if you make just one mistake, then your whole message could be impossible to decode. What's more, it might even help the crackers work out what code you're using. When people sent coded messages in the VR, the one thing crackers used to dream of was a message having to be sent twice with a corrected mistake because they could compare them and unravel how the code worked. Therefore, it's very important to get your code right first time, so here's what to do. 1. Write your plain message out in small letters along the top of a big piece of paper. Most codes ignore spaces, so leave the spaces out. 2. Work out your coded message and write it underneath. If your encoding takes 2 or 3 stages, work out one stage at a time. 3. Finally, when you get your completed code, write it out in capital letters. There. Now decode it and make sure it works. 5. Finally, copy your coded message out onto the postcard or into the email or whatever else you're sending it on. 6. It is now traditional to destroy the piece of paper you were working on by eating it. Choose from the following. Stuff it in your mouth and chew it up. Not recommended. Slice into strips. Smother in brown sauce. Dip into beaten egg. Roll in breadcrumbs. And gently fry until brown. Add salt and pepper to taste, then serve with sun-dried tomatoes, moon-dried mushrooms, towel-dried custard, and hair-dryer-dried ice. Garnish with basil and rosemary, and anybody else you think might taste nice. Serves for that. Shove the paper through a shredder and then raid the biscuit tin instead. Disguised messages. Aha, this looks interesting. We could try it. Even the best code cracker hasn't a chance if he can't find a message to decode. That's why some people go to great lengths to hide messages in strange and wonderful ways. In ancient times, people used to shave a slave's head, tattoo the message on a bald bit, and then wait for the hair to grow back. The slave would then be sent off to whoever needed the message and have his head shaved again to reveal the message. There was also the Roman general who sent a message back to his base camp written on a small bit of cloth. The cloth was then rolled up very tightly and fed to a messenger's horse. The messenger rode off, but of course, if he was stopped, the enemy wouldn't find anything. However, when he reached the camp, all they had to do was wait until the following morning. Why are you shaving that horse? It's a way of disguising messages. Or maybe we got things a bit mixed up. We'll leave the old-fashioned ways to the Galarks. Luckily, this is a murderous maths book, and we've got much easier ways to hide messages. Needles and haystacks. The first chapter had a few disguised messages where the letters of the plain text are hidden in a jumble of words. You can easily think of your own algorithm to do this. The only problem is that your coded message might be very long just to get a few secret words across. Did you find the word cactus in the coded postcard on page 11? That message was 75 letters long just to disguise 6 letters. We call this method needles and haystacks because picking the correct letters out from all the decoy letters is like finding a needle in a haystack. If you want to get your message across a bit faster, you can hide whole words at once. Here's an emergency message you might send to an agent who happens to have a bucket of water handy. My fat dog pants whenever we are playing football on the old fire station steps. The algorithm to decode the message is to divide it into groups of 3 words and then read the first word of each group. Eek! Another way to hide a message in a jumble of words is to take a page out of a newspaper and stick a pin through the paper underneath the letters you need. When you put the page back, it's very hard to spot the pinholes. All your agent needs to do is take the page out and hold it up to the light and the holes become obvious. Look at the underlined letters to see how this works. Binary codes. So far, we've hardly used any maths, and so regular murderous maths fans will be getting a bit twitchy. Take a deep breath then, because now we're going to use binary numbers to disguise a message. Binary numbers only use the digits 0 and 1. And if you wanted to write the number 6 in binary, you'd put 110. And if you wanted to write 110 in binary, you'd put 1101110. The good news is that you don't need to understand binary itself, but if you want to, it's all explained in Numbers the Key to the Universe. The first thing to do is turn your message into binary so you get a load of 1s and 0s. After that, you can disguise the 1s and 0s in all sorts of different ways. The lovely thing about these messages is that they can really confuse crackers. This short binary message actually says yes. No, definitely not. You might be suspicious at the range of capitals and small letters, and you'd be right. This next message also says yes, and it uses exactly the same encoding system, but the disguise is slightly better. No, definitely not. How can that say yes? If you look carefully, you'll see that the four letters that were small in the first message, I, E, N, and T, are now in italics. The secret message is hidden in the arrangement of plain and italic letters, and so the fun part is that it doesn't matter what the letters themselves are. Here's another message coded the same way. Can you guess what it says? Absolutely no way. No? Wrong again. It also says yes, and so does this one. Arg! We've encoded the word yes using a 5-bit binary code. To decode a message, you first break it into sections of 5 letters. Then you write 1 under every normal letter and 0 under every italic letter. You get this. Node F 111. I Knight 01110. LYNOT 11010. The code is hidden in these 5-digit numbers containing 1s and 0s. There are 32 different ways you can write out 5 1s and 0s, and each of them can represent a different number or letter. Here's the system we've used. 5 0s equals 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1 equals 1, and so on. You'll see that we've got some binary numbers represent 2 letters. This is because with 5-bit binary, we don't have enough numbers for all the 26 letters and 10 digits. As it's merely the unusual letters that are paired up, when you decode the message, it should be obvious enough which letter you need. So where did yes come from? The first group of 5 digits was 11111, so this represents Y or Z. The next group was 01110, so that represented E, and the final group was 11010, which gives you the yes. Of course, you don't have to use the binary code we've seen here. You and your agent can set up your own 5-bit code and use the 32 different binary numbers to represent anything you like. Suppose you didn't need the digit 0 through 9, you could give each of the 26 letters a different number, and that would leave you with 6 numbers for special words or phrases such as no, or get here immediately, or darling, I love you passionately until the end of time. There are a lot of reasons for not using binary code. If you're going to use italics, you almost certainly have to assemble your message with a computer. This could be a bit awkward if you're wandering through an enemy campsite disguised in a cow outfit and just clutching a pencil and paper. If you miss out just one digit, it will be impossible to read any of the messages that comes after it. It takes ages to write anything more than a few words. However, there is one job this sort of code is really good for. If you are sending a scrambled or substitution message, sometimes it's useful to be able to hide the key to the code in the message. The key can often be just one word or even one letter. Therefore, you might arrange with your agent that the key is hidden with binary code in the first few letters of the message. So if capital letters mean 1 and the small letters mean 0, this is what we think of binary code. Yay, that earthling code's really tough. I think we're better off shaving the horse. Anyone squirting custard is idiot. Although binary code is a bit tedious for people to use, computers absolutely love it. In fact, they love it so much that they tend to use 8-digit numbers rather than just the 5 digits we've got here. This 8-bit code is called ASCII, which stands for Anyone Squirting Custard is Idiot. It also stands for American Standard Code for Information Interchange, but that's a bit boring. When you push a key on a computer keyboard, it sends a binary code into the computer. In total, there are 256 different combinations of 8 ones and zeros, so the keyboard can send a different code for all the letters, numbers, commas, and signs. If you push A, it sends 01100001, and if you push Shift A, in other words, you want to write A, it sends 01000001. The numbers from 0 to 9 all start with 0011. Any codes that start 0000 or 0001 are a bit different. These are control codes that don't represent something that can be printed. Most of them don't come off the keyboard, they just run around inside the computer giving it strange computerish instructions, such as line feed or synchronous idle. Sadly, they don't have sensible instructions, such as order pizza or let the cat out. In fact, there's only one of these codes, which is any fun at all. 00000111 equals bell. In old-fashioned teletypers and printers, this code would make a little bell ping. These days, 00000111 might prod your computer. Into making a sad little beep noise, but if you're lucky, I might dash outside and ring your neighbor's doorbell and run away. Ho Yo-ho! Bing bong! One advantage of having a message in binary code is that computers can then go to work on it and encode it in very complicated ways, as we'll see when we get to page 80. Unwritten messages. Another advantage of binary code is that it's good for messages that are not written down. Sound. You could send a message using sound by having two different whistles. The higher note means 0 and the lower note means 1. Smell. Professor Fiendish has been sending binary codes using two lunch boxes marked 1 and 0. The 1 box contained Old Kipper yogurt and the 0 box has vintage green cheese sandwiches. By cleverly opening and closing the boxes, he can send messages to his pet pigs, Truffles. Light. You can send a message in binary at night to an agent over the road using your bedroom light. If you turn your light on and off once, very quickly, that could mean 0, and if you turn it on and leave it for a second, then turn it off, that would mean 1. You could also leave the light off for a longer gap after every 5 flashes to show when a letter had finished. And if your agent sees the light has gone off for a long time, that will mean you've blown a fuse. Morse code. This is the more usual way of sending messages with flashy lights. It takes a bit more practice than binary, but when you get used to it, it's a lot quicker because the more common letters only use 1 or 2 flashes. The letters and numbers are represented with a selection of short and long flashes, like this. Since emails got popular, there is even a code there at, which is... Morse code is quite well known, so usually you would encode a message first using one of the substitution or scrambling methods we'll see later on. Did you get my message inviting you to dinner? Blech. Scrambling codes. You can encode messages by changing the order that the letters come in. Down at the Last Chance Saloon, the card hostess Riverboat Lil often did this to disguise messages, especially when Brett Shuffler was on the lookout for easy money. Psst, Lil, I've struck gold. I need to write down the place, but I don't want anyone to read it. Write it on these cards, toothpick. One letter in each corner. Howdy, toothpick. So where's this gold you struck? It's a secret, Brett. Ah, I saw you write it on those cards, and I'd sure like to take a look. I won't go stealing it now. Should we trust him? Why not? I'm just stealing these 13 cards face down into 2 piles of 7. I just put a card on each pile in turn, left, right, and so on. Soon I'll be rich. Help yourself, Brett. Irk. You paid for a look at the cards, and that's what you got, Brett. Say, what is this? Say, Lil, I hope you haven't lost the message, because I don't remember so good. Posh, she fooled me again. Relax, toothpick. I just put the two hands together like this, close them up and turn them over, then I deal the 13 cards into 7 piles of 2. First I deal a line of 7 single cards from left to right, then I go along again from left to right, putting another card on top of each one. I pick up the piles in order so that the pile on the right goes on the top. Well, bless my soul. This is one of the best known ways of scrambling a message, although if you don't want to deal cards, there's an easier way. It's called the rail fence method, because in the old days, rail fences used to have a nice zigzag top to them. Imagine you write your message along the top, and every second letter sits on a spike of the fence. B-U-R-N-T-B-O-N-E-C-R-E-E-K. You remove all the letters on the fence, and you're left with B-R-T-O-E-R-E. After that, you write in all the letters you removed, U-N-B-N-C-E-K. Put them together, and you get B-R-T-O-E-R-E-U-N-B-N-C-E-K. When Lil dealt the cards out into 2 piles, she was doing the same thing. In other words, she was removing every second card and putting them into a separate pile. To decode a rail fence message, you have to write it out like this. B-U-R-N-T-B-O-N-E-C-R-E-E-K. And slot the letters back together. When Lil dealt the cards into 7 piles of 2, she was just putting the cards she removed back into their original piles. Places. Needless to say, to do this with a pack of cards, you have to be as good as dealing it as Lil, and that's very good. Stick around and I'll show you how to do it. The rail fence method only splits your letters into 2 groups, but if you want to make things harder for the crackers, you can split your letters into more groups. The way to do it is to write the letters in a grid so that they read across. Your grid can be any size you like for the message. To encode your message, you just read down the columns one at a time. Here you get YCSIEOAIKMUNZEERBEFSGE YOSRAORAINUTGDYLHE. As the grid we used had 8 columns going across, we've broken the letters up into 8 groups. Just to make things more confusing, we'll move the spaces around. YCSIEOAIKMUNZEERBEFSGEYOSRAORAINUTGDYLHE. Now the crackers can't tell how many columns were in the grid, but don't forget to let your agent know. How to scramble messages by dealing cards. Here's the trick way of scrambling and unscrambling cards. You can use as many or as few cards as you like, but the total number of cards you use must not be prime. In other words, it must be a number that will divide up neatly. When Lil scrambled up Toothpick's message, she used 13 cards, which divides up into 7 times 2. When she scrambled the message, she dealt 2 piles of 7 cards each. Then to unscramble it, she dealt 7 piles of 2. If you want to practice, try using 12 cards. Ace, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, and Queen. 12 divides up into 3 times 4, so first you can scramble them up by dealing them into 3 piles, and then unscramble them by dealing them into 4 piles. Here's how it goes. First, put the cards in order from ace to queen. Turn them face down and deal them into 3 piles. Put a card on each pile and turn as if you're dealing to 3 people. Put the piles together. The pile on top should be the pile in which the last card was dealt. Turn the whole pack over and fan them out. You'll see the cards are in a scrambled up order. Turn the pack face down and deal them into 4 piles. Put the piles together in the same way as before. Turn the whole pack over, fan them out, and look. The cards are back in the right order. Well, shoot my boot. You can try this with other numbers of cards. For instance, if you use 30 cards, remember 5 times 8 equals 30. So first deal them into 5 piles, and then deal them into 8 piles. Other methods of scrambling. If you want to start scrambling up a message that you haven't finished writing, you can't use a grid or a rail fence method, but there are lots of other ways you can do it. How about this? Break your message into groups of 3 letters, reverse each group of 3 letters, put it together again. We might try this later on. Ooh, this message was encoded this way, so you can try to decode it. IHTSISCINNAEAEDJYS. You'll notice that when the message was coded, an extra letter was put on the end to complete the group of 3 and make it neat. Also, the finished message was broken into groups of 6 letters just for fun. Why not? So as long as you could decode it, that's all that matters. Remember Rule 3 on page 12. There are no more rules. Scramble talk. You can have fun imagining your messages written out backwards and saying it out loud. If you and your agent practice this, other people will have no idea what you were talking about. Good afternoon would sound like noon ret fa dug. This is really handy if you suspect you're being overhead by aliens. That did scrawl log tebi. Dip uts os era yet. Dear ga. Do you think they know we're here? No way, we're far too clever. Scramble strips. Back in ancient times, people used to write scrambled messages on long strips of paper. When the strip was laid out flat, all that could be seen was a row of meaningless letters, but when the strip was wrapped around a pole that was exactly the right thickness, the message would suddenly become obvious. Over the years, this method was adapted and used in many clever and cunning ways. Here's one as described in an old police report. City, Chicago, Illinois, U.S. A. Place, Central Mail Office, City Square. Date, November 7, 1929. Time, 9:15 a.m. Sorry, sir, said the little man wearing a waistcoat and vest chained behind the armored desk. No letter here from Mr. James Bocelli. I checked twice already. The 3 shady men glared through the grill at the mail clerk. The slim man and the man in the black suit stood in front of a very large man who was as wide as the other 2 put together.